let me introduce Derek Osborne. Let's say a few words.
Thanks very much. I was here in 1994.
You are probably supporting one of the motions, right?
I was probably supporting most of them. a friend of mine was the party, Ollie Grender, who was then the director of communications for the party, who was probably looking more anxious than Paddy was. And you missed out the third of the triptych of great things, which was the decriminalisation of prostitution. Also, and that debate, I think, took place just after the setting up of a Royal Commission on the Decriminalisation of Cannabis, so we had a pretty good day, and I voted the wrong way on pretty much everything, as far as the party was concerned. But now I've got to behave myself.
So you haven't been knighted yet?
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for the peerage. So, that's just my lobby, by the way, David. It says here, and my key objective is to convince David Laws, the Minister of State for Schools, of our arguments and the continuing role in local authorities, as David has already gone quite a long way towards meeting our aspirations in the speech that he's just made. That gives me some hope, I'm going to say. We are probably on the edge of having the danger of having the most fragmented education system that there has been since Victorian times. I'm not making a political comment about, you know, Gove wanted to turn us back to Queen Victoria's days, but it is true that the danger of fragmentation with free schools, academies, and a lot of independence within the school system means that there is a danger of all sorts of balls being dropped within the education of our children. We believe at London Councils, across the parties, that local authorities now more than ever have a critical role to play in making sure that fragmentation isn't fragmentation, but that it is a way of creating freedoms without creating a situation in which children and parents suffer. Local authorities retain over 200 statutory responsibilities in relation to schools and to responsibility for children more widely. So whatever happens in the way academies are set up or free schools are set up, we still have those responsibilities. And as local councillors, the one thing we're very clear about is that in not using those responsibilities, that we let down not just this generation, but future generations too. And that's really not the world that we're in. So what are the challenges? Well, the increasing number of academies and free schools. If it progresses the way it's currently going in my local authority, all secondary schools will be academies or something else by 2014 and all primary schools by 2022. Primary schools obviously being slow for all the reasons that David has already said. And that gives us major challenges. There's also the issue, as David says, how can you manage those schools from the department without anything in between? The answer is almost certainly you can't. There is also a major issue on school places. In London, 90,000 new school places will be required by 2015-2016. And that is the point at which also the bulge that we've already been spending money on for primary schools, and we've just opened a new primary school in Kingston, starts to feed through into the secondary tier, where we in Kingston need at least 1.5 new secondary schools, which at the moment there is no finance available. We've spent in Kingston £35 million over the last 4 years on school places in the primary level, from which support from the government has been £3 million worth. But it costs £35 million, or thereabouts, to build a new secondary school. The scale is much greater. So we have a critical role in that, and it's a huge challenge for us. So, in relation to those challenges then, what do we think needs to be the continuing role? School improvement is key. We must continue to have a role in school improvement. We believe that we can do that through innovative partnerships. David has already mentioned this model. In Kingston, we have a partnership with all our schools who continue to buy into the services that the local authority provide because we have a high reputation on school improvement. We have some of the best results in the country. And on all indicators, we're well up there. We have the lowest exclusion rate, the lowest rates of truancy, and the highest achievements. We do that by carrying through a relationship with our schools that is seen to be around partnership and innovation rather than bullying and coercion. So improvement is one of the key issues, and no local authority wants to see a school in its area failing. If we have a failing school locally, it is a failure of the local authority as well as a failure of the school itself. And in fact, if you look back historically, you could actually argue that it has been the local authority that's actually failed the schools rather than the schools failing the children. The demand for school places, as I've already indicated, is one of the key issues that local authorities must get involved in. And that, I think, is going to become more difficult as we have no control over admission arrangements. We cannot afford to have a whole series of academies that are setting themselves up as a new form of selective system. That will just fail generations. So we continue to have a need to do that. That is going to be particularly true, I think, when free schools burst onto the scene rather more than they are at the moment. The aspirations of people setting up free schools may be widely different from the aspirations for local authority in social terms. We haven't had many free school applications yet in Kingston, but the one that is hovering on the edge, given our need for a new secondary school, even though the people of that area where the places are needed have already rejected the notion of a school, of a religious-based school, the people who are looking at opening a new secondary school are indeed evangelically Christian-based. I'm going to make no comments about my view on that, but it is an arrangement around the aspiration of groups to set up a free school, as opposed to what we know is the aspirations of the parents of the type of school that they want, will become in danger of being dysfunctional. Local authorities will have a continuing need to mediate and to facilitate that, and to give support to those people who are setting up free schools. The accessibility to parents, exercising choice. We've been on a massive choice agenda in schools now for a very long time. But of course, choice in schools and education at a time when there are not enough school places is a key issue. You don't get choice until you've got actually a surplus of places, not a deficit. So one of the roles for local authorities, we continue to believe, is in advising parents to make transparent what schools are like and what the schools offer is, so that they can exercise that choice where choice is possible. Within all the new arrangements, the role of governors becomes even more important than it ever has been before. And one of the worries, I think, that local authorities and councillors have is that the role of the governor in many schools will become the role of the head teacher. That head teachers will effectively have the power within schools and not the representatives of the community. We see local authorities as having a greater role now in training and supporting governors as they have a wider role in the management of schools. And we will continue, as the final point where I think we have a major role, is on supporting vulnerable children. One of the big worries that local authorities have as free schools and academies set up is, will there be a marginalisation of those people, of the most vulnerable children and children with special needs? If a free school wants to market itself as the best school in the area, is there a danger that they will not want to take those people who have special, those children who have special needs? It has got to be the role, continuing role of the local authority to make sure that all children and young people are catered for and not those who are academically gifted. Just one final point, which I should have slipped in a bit earlier, but this is my opportunity to lob you, David. One of the things that government can do that gets in the way of new school places and all of that stuff is the ownership of land. Central government owns enormous amounts of land around the country. There are loads of local authorities where when schools were closing, because we didn't need their school place anymore, school buildings and school land were sold off for housing and other local needs. In Kingston, we need new schools, but we have no land. However, the Ministry of Justice owns some land on a prison that's closed. Yes, prisons do occasionally close. So there's this prime piece of land in an area where we have a shortage of school places, and the Department of Justice has said they're not interested in making that land available for schools. They're interested in making money by selling it for housing. Central government, even if it is not funding local authorities to build schools, can do an enormous thing by telling central government departments to release land so that schools can be built. And that would be an enormous value to local people if they did that. Thanks very much.